You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you so much. Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you made it to church. I'm glad you're here. If nobody else has told you, I'm glad you woke up this morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it to church. Good for you. Grab your Bibles, if you will. We're going to spend some time in God's Word, and we're going to believe that as we do that, God's Word is going to get into us. I want to say a very special welcome to all of our friends watching online. What's up, peoples? Good to see you guys. Can we give them a big, warm round of applause? Come on, somebody. Hey, we've got people watching not just from Gilmer, not just from, all over the place. We've got people watching that are sick at home. Hey, we're praying for you. But if you're feeling well, get here. We still got one more service at 12 o'clock. Don't be lazy. For all of you that are vacationing, hey, we pray that you have an amazing and safe time and a good time of rest. For our friends watching over in Europe, hey, the Berry family, hello, hello. Our friends watching in Arizona, Louisiana, Olney, Texas, Abilene, Texas, hey, we're glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We believe that if you like what you hear today, that you'll share it with your friends. You'll use your social media influence to spread the love of Jesus all the way around the world. So welcome. We also want to say thank you to all of you who are being generous, who have sowed your seeds of financial and monetary gifts here. It's making a big difference. And we say that every week, but I want to make sure that you're able to see where your money's going. When you support our ministry, we're able to support a lot of other nonprofits and people that are doing great things all around our city and in our communities. And so let me just show you a couple things. This past week, we were able to serve and to help a group called Expectant Heart. And if you don't know Expectant Heart and Michelle there, you need to get to know her. They're doing fantastic work, helping a lot of expectant mothers and those that just became mothers. And let me just tell you, if you call yourself pro-life, but you're not willing to help moms that are poor or in underserved communities, like, I don't want to hear about your gospel. I'm just telling you, this is the love of Jesus, the hands extended to people that have chosen to have their children. And this is where the church says, we're going to help you because you made the right decision. Amen? Amen. So we're able to reach out to them. They said, we're doing an event at Broughton Park. And so they had 400 people show up. And because you guys are such a generous church, we're able to sponsor that and say, that's on us. And so we were able to minister to a bunch of them. So give yourselves a big round of applause. That's awesome. So we wanted to show you some pictures of where your money goes and the things that we're able to do. I recognize especially during election seasons and during times of great inflation, there's a lot of things competing for your money. And let me just tell you, in times like these, nonprofits suffer a lot. There's a lot of people doing great things to help. A lot of people have a lot less than you. And their giving goes down, donations go down. And because you guys have continued to be a generous church, we're able to continue to support them and say, hey, we're going to help you guys because our people are standing behind us. So thank you for being generous. Thank you for trusting us with that. It's making a difference. So Psalm 121, we're going to go there today. So if you're new to the Bible, open up right there to the middle, and you've pretty much got it, Psalm 121. And we're going to continue on with our series called Psalmer in Psalm. Somebody say Psalmer. It's a joke. You'll get it maybe later on. Psalm 121. And I want you to notice at the very beginning of this psalm, if you have a paper Bible, there's a little words at the very, very top underneath Psalm 121 that says, a song of ascents. A song of ascents. That essentially means road trip music. Come on, road trip music. And so let's kick it off, if you would. We're going to read through the entire chapter and then kind of see what the Lord is speaking to us today. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I want to pause right there. If you have a paper Bible, you're going to want to grab the pen on the seat back pocket in front of you and underline that scripture. My help comes from the Lord. If you're ever in a dark season of your life and you need one of those scriptures where you're playing Bible roulette and you're just like, okay, Lord, I need a word. Like, that's a good one to find. My help comes from the Lord. And so that's something that you want to keep handy in case you ever need it. I'm just telling you. Life gets dark sometimes and you need a scripture. That's a good one. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It goes on to say, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I like that it says neither slumber or sleep. The difference between those two words, by the way, in the original language means he ain't sleeping and he ain't napping. God ain't sleeping, he ain't napping. Now, the scripture also tells us God does rest, but he ain't sleeping and he ain't napping. Why does he do that? So that I can sleep and I can nap. Come on, he's watching over me. I can take a break. It's good. He doesn't slumber, He doesn't sleep. It says, the Lord watches over you. That's another good scripture to underline. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. We don't have a lot of that in Texas, especially right now. We're going to need some shade. You might want to underline that scripture too. The sun will not harm you by day. For those of you that are California transplants, let me just tell you, our heat's a little bit different here, but this is another scripture you might want to underline. The sun's not going to hurt you. You're going to be okay. Just stay inside. Air conditioning is good. It's a blessing from the Lord. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. That's a good scripture. Come on, somebody needs to read that. This is the Lord speaking to you. Lord, you're going to watch over my life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's good stuff. Amen? So we're going to break down the entire chapter today. We're going to look at this in a few different perspectives. And I want to give you a quick reminder that these, when it says the word psalms literally means songs. So this is road trip music. Now, let me just tell you, if you're going to ride with me on any kind of road trip, what we listen to is of critical importance. Because if you think we're going to be talking the whole time, you're getting out. That's not going to happen. Road trips are defined by the music. Come on, somebody. It's by where you stop to eat at. Where you get gas at, come on somebody, Bucky's fans. And you got to have a good soundtrack. If I give you the aux cord, like that's a high honor. But don't come here like, we need to listen to this podcast. No, we're not. No, this is not podcast time. No. Oh, and I'm just telling you, I love a good road trip, but road trips are not my time to worship. They're not my time to pray. They're not my time to learn, to grow. This is my time to just let it go. And so a good road trip song is important. And let me just tell you, I grew up in a time where you couldn't just make a playlist on Spotify like you do now. You can't just put those things. It took a lot of work. First of all, in my day, back in the 80s, like you had to call the radio station, first of all, and request a song from the DJ. And then you had to sit by the radio and wait for him to play the song. And you had to have a cassette recorder. Some of you have no idea what that is. Back in the day, I'm aging myself. And you had to press two buttons at the same time. The play and the record button, right? At the same time. Boom. And now you're recording a song on a cassette. Some of you are like, what is a cassette? Don't worry about it. It's okay. Now, things have progressed a little bit. But back in my day, you know, we talk about the dangers of driving. And we don't want our kids to text and drive. That's so dangerous. Like, please. We grew up in a time where we could drive with our knees, drinking a Jolt Cola with your left hand, and then thumbing through about five books of CDs with your right hand, trying to find the right song. You remember those books of CDs, don't you? You remember those. And it was extremely dangerous. And we're talking about, we didn't need no seatbelts in my day. Like, that's the reason why a bunch of people that graduated from high school with you are no longer with us. They're waiting on the other side. Like, yeah, but I had a great soundtrack. You should have heard it. It was great tunes, man, great tunes. It's important on a great road trip that you have the right road trip music. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Now, essentially, when you're looking at Psalm 21, it's road trip music. This would have been something that they would have sung over themselves as they're getting ready to make a trip from wherever they're located into Jerusalem, into the temple. I'm going to go spend time with God. I got to make it to Jerusalem. Now, it's not like today where you can just drive and you can call 911 if anything ever goes wrong. That didn't exist. And so there are a ton of dangers that could befall you on every part of the journey. And so it's difficult for them to sometimes just get out of their comfortability and make the trip. And it's difficult for us to do the same thing sometimes. It's difficult for us to step out of what's comfortable and step into what God is asking us to do. And so they would remind themselves and build up their strength, build up their courage with Psalm 121. And they put it to music so that they would continually keep this in front of them. They would remember the words to this psalm. One of the greatest parts about our learning minds is that if you put it to song, you'll generally remember it a lot better. Have you found that to be true? If I can sing it, I'll remember it. And so in Psalm 121, it's specifically written so that you'll remind yourself of the goodness of God as you're taking the journey, this song of ascent. They're literally going up into the mountains where Jerusalem is located. And so as they're stepping there, they remind us of some powerful principles, not only if you're just going on a road trip, but the journey that is our life. Your life's a journey. And a lot of times that journey gets real uncomfortable. There are times where your fears are going to be overwhelming. There are times you might have the courage to get started, but somewhere along the line, you're like, I probably should turn back. This is getting crazy. It's the middle of the night. It's the heat of the day. There's threats on each side. I don't know what's going to happen in this season. Don't know what's going to happen there. Psalm 121 gives us some important lessons for life's journey. I want to give you three of those that we're going to pull out of scripture today. So if you're a note taker, I want you to write down these three things. Start with number one. Number one, perhaps most importantly, we find this in the first verse. What I focus on will expand my courage or my fears. Somebody say amen, because you know this to be true. Even if you've never said it that way, you know this to be true. Whatever you focus on is going to expand either one of two things: what you're afraid of or your faith. There's a reason why he says, I lift my eyes. Now, we could just stop right there, and that's enough word for maybe somebody today, but just a change of perspective can mean the world when you're walking through a dark season or a time of great fear or anxiety. And those of you that never had to walk through a season of fear and anxiety, let me just tell you, keep living. Keep living, because it's coming. Come on, somebody that's been around for a little bit. Yeah, you know. Just keep living. You're going to walk through periods of your life where you're just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen. This is crazy. This is dark. I wasn't planning on this. This is not part of my life goals. This is not what I thought would happen. But he says, I lift my eyes. I change my focus. I change my perspective. I get my eyes off of the things that are freaking me out and back up on the one that makes all things. I get my focus back on the Lord. And this is a beautiful thing for anyone having to walk through a dark season of their life. Change your focus. He says, I lift my eyes to the help. And he says, where does my help come from? That's a great question. Sometimes you need to have a little inner monologue with yourself. You need to have that question saying, hey, where does my help come from? Am I supposed to help myself? There was a recent survey that kind of let us know the depths of our biblical illiteracy. And a lot of people chose that their favorite scripture was the scripture, God helps those that help themselves. Like, that's not scripture, boo-boo. It's a good saying, you know, I understand the point of it, but that ain't scripture. God is the helper. God is my helper. He says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. It reminds me of this simple truth, and I want to put it on the screen so that you can see it. It's not my job to help myself. It's my job to change my focus. It's my job to get my eyes back on what I'm supposed to be looking at. Let me get my eyes off all this stuff that's freaking me out and get it back up on the one that made me. He will help me. It's my job to change my focus. So when I was in sixth grade, I got an assignment from our science teacher, and she said, I want you to come up with an original idea and you're gonna present a science project. And so I went home and I told my dad, I said, I gotta come up with an original idea that I can show my class that nobody else has done. And so it was our jobs to kind of write down what we were working on so no one else would do it. And we get to, you know, premiere this at our science fair. And so my dad said, I'll tell you what, we'll come up with something cool. And so we didn't have a lot of money. We grew up really, really poor, and we were working in ministry and in churches. And of course, it's difficult sometimes. It's a lot more beans than it is steak, let me just tell you. And so my dad had to get a little his little ingenious mind going. And so he finds an old cabinet drawer, pulls out the cabinet drawer, and then uses a skill saw to cut it lengthwise, and takes it and kind of folds it back up on itself to make a square. And he glues that together, and then he cuts a little slit on one side and then a little slit on the opposite side underneath. And then he takes a broomstick, cuts it in half, and runs it through the side. Then he takes and finds a couple of pieces of mirror, and he begins to hot glue those to some small pieces of wood and puts the whole thing together. And I'm like, what is this? And he began to show me. He said, if you look in one side, the mirror reflects on the other side and it becomes a periscope. So if you remember, like if you've ever seen a submarine, they have that little periscope that they look out at and they can, you know, see above the surface of the water. So my dad made me a periscope out of a cabinet drawer. And I love that thing. I kept that thing for years. Why? Because it helped me to change my perspective. I could now see around corners. Take that thing and just slide it around the corner and I could see what was coming. If you're in a hot area and people are throwing water balloons, let me just tell you, periscope's a great thing to have. You want to spy on your neighbors, put that sucker over the fence. Like, you freak your neighbors out a little bit when you see the little cardboard box coming over the top with a mirror in it and the little boy's eyes, you know. But I learned, you know, it's amazing to me. When you can see things from a different perspective, you're not as afraid. And life gets scary, doesn't it? If I can learn how to lift my eyes, change my focus, if I could just change what I'm focusing on, I'll find that my faith gets a lot bigger and my fears get a lot smaller. Can you receive that? Here's what I know. And he asked that question, where does my help come from? That's a great question for a healthy perspective. Essentially saying, I need God. I need God. That's the best perspective to have. That's healthy. I need God. It's not a statement of weakness. It's a statement of wisdom. I need God. I can't fix this myself. See, a healthy perspective is one that recognizes the need for God's help. I'm going to need him to help me. I think we get lost kind of in our culture that talks about how great we are and how strong we are and how smart we are. And you can just fix it. If you can just do this and do that, you can fix it. No, you can't. We were designed and created to need God. And you need him. I need him. And you will walk through parts of your life's journey where you have no choice but to rely upon the strength of our God. I love how he says, my help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. So when he says, I lift my eyes to those hills and I lift my eyes to those mountains, I love what he finishes that statement. He says, my help essentially, it doesn't come from those mountains. My help comes from the one that made the mountains. It's even bigger than what I'm seeing. That's a powerful revelation for somebody like me that often gets overwhelmed by the things that are happening. And you may not believe it, but working in church, it's easy to get overwhelmed. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of things that are happening. There's never enough money at the end of the month. There's all kinds of people that need a lot of help. It's easy for us to get overwhelmed. Like, God, I can't make this all work out. But if I can change my focus and recognize that, wait, God's not a cheap God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He can do anything. He's helped me before. He'll help me again. My help doesn't come from this. My help comes from the one that made this. He's the maker of heaven and earth. I want to put this on the screen so you can see it. My help doesn't come from anything that's made, but from the one who made all things. That's a good way for us to kind of change our perspective a little bit. My help comes from him. And he can help me in some profound and powerful ways that other people haven't thought about yet. Let me just tell you, God's a creative God, and he still does great things. Here's the second key I want to share with you. An important life lesson that we can't afford to forget for the journey of life. Number two, recognizing God's presence helps me learn as I go. Recognizing God's presence helps me learn as I go. So once again, this would be a song that they would repeat to themselves, that they would sing to themselves as they're making the trip to Jerusalem, as they're going to the temple. And it'd be easy for them to say, okay, God, I'm gonna go meet with you at your temple. I've got this long journey to get to God, and forget that he's not just about the end of the journey. He's about walking with me day by day. And this is a good reminder, like, God's not just in the temple. He's with me here too. That's important for us to remember. You see, it's easy to focus on goals. We're all about goals. It's easy to focus on goals and miss the lessons that God's teaching me now, today. We kind of get lost sometimes in thinking how great things are going to be in heaven, and they will be. But don't miss your relationship with God today. It's important. God's speaking today. He wants control of your day today. He wants to speak to you today. He wants to spend time with you today, not just there. Don't get so focused on on eternity that you forget about the one you're going to spend eternity with. Like, get to know him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to spend some time with you. This is why it's so important that at our church, we believe that the very first thing we want to teach you is how to really know God. I want you to know God. I want you to have an intimate relationship with him where you hear his voice and he knows your voice. And you have a conversation going all day long. It will change. It will revolutionize the way that you think and process. It'll revolutionize the way that you treat people. Change the way you treat your boss. Change the way you treat your spouse. It'll change the way you parent. Your relationship with God matters. So don't just get so focused on the goal of someday I'll be closer to God and miss the fact that he's here today. It's not just about the goal. Let me remind you of this. God is just as present in the journey as he is the destination. Somebody say amen. That's good. And I love how he also says, he will not let your foot slip. That's good. That's good stuff. He won't let your foot slip. It's an important reminder, especially when we realize that life gets slick real fast. As soon as you think your marriage is good and it gets a little slick, as soon as your job is doing good, something will happen, it gets a little slick. As soon as you get your baby into the toddler stage, you're like, okay, this is great. Then here comes the terrible twos. Whew, life got slick. Kid done got a demon in about 6 minutes. You finally get through all that, and like, wow, this is awesome. Then they start school, and you're like, what kind of friend choices do these little kids make? I raise you to make better choices than that. They get sent home the first day, or sent home the second day, and the third day. You know, you ever had those? Nobody else had a kid like that? Just saying. When you get that phone call, and you're like, oh, just let it go to voicemail. Like, I pay my taxes, so you're supposed to take care of them. It's your job. Life gets slick. Now, don't let the sun outside fool you. I know it gets super hot here in Texas, but about every 5 years, we also experience an ice apocalypse. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Everything gets covered with ice, and then everybody from other states make fun of us about how you can't drive. You guys don't know how to drive on that cold weather stuff. We get it. We understand. But what y'all don't understand is this is not snow. We don't get snow. We get ice, and that's a completely different thing, and you can sit out on the loop on 20 and you can just watch the cowboy rodeos. The F-150s are just doing this, you know, sliding up and down the freeway, and cowboys are woo, 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 you know. And it may not happen often, but it does happen, and all hell breaks loose, and it's just great. You just stay at home. Just stay home. You don't need anything. Load up on toilet paper like everybody does. Buy all the bread and the milk for some reason. I don't know what we're going to do with all that bread and milk. Hoard it all and stay home. Make some soup. But life gets like that every once in a while. Life gets slick. No matter how much money you have, no matter how great your marriage is, you're going to have moments where life gets slick. And in those moments, we remind ourselves, God, you will not let my foot slip. If I just keep my focus on you, if I keep my eyes focused on you, if I don't get overwhelmed by all this stuff, you're not going to let me slip. You're going to keep me in perfect peace. One of my favorite songs that we do here, and we do a lot of songs that's my favorite. It's one of the beautiful benefits of being the boss is I get to do whatever I want. And so when I'm like, hey, I don't like that song, they won't do it. But if I really like it, they're like, we don't like it, but I know Pastor likes it. He'll do it. I love that. It's nice to be the boss. Come on, somebody. It's nice. But I love that song, Christ is My Firm Foundation. I love that song. You can't do it enough for me. When they start singing that, especially Pastor Chris and that worship team takes off, I'm like, yes, I don't care if they don't like it. I love this song. This is a great song. This one's for me. But it's the song of my life. Christ is my life. My life has gotten slick. There's been plenty of times where I'm like, I'm not sure. When I remind myself that Christ is my firm foundation, I can keep going and I can learn the lessons along the way because he will not let me slip. And Psalm 121 reminds me of that. Let me say it this way. Only by being firmly rooted in Christ can I continually advance in my spiritual journey. I love that this is a song of ascent, a road trip song, a song to keep going. And I remind myself, he's not going to let me slip. He's got me. Can you receive that, everybody? Is that okay? I want to finish up with this. The last point is this. You might want to write this down because this may be the most important thing that I say. Reminding myself of who's in charge helps me to keep going when I didn't know I could. I mean, you may not have ever lived through a moment where you're not sure if you can keep going, but I have. I've been there plenty of times. Like, this might be where it ends. This might be the final chapter. And if I don't know how to remind myself of who's really in charge, who's my keeper, who's my protector, I'll get lost in that. And I would very easily just give up and quit. I know that you may think, you know, hey, being a pastor, that's not that hard of a job. You should come do my job. I get it. You have a hard job. All you do is talk for 20 minutes once a week. Okay, whatever. Well, let me just tell you, you're a lot. I got to put up with you. And on most days, most of you are having pretty good days. But every once in a while, you walk through something. And it gets slick. Life gets slick for you. And it's hard. And sometimes I look around like, I don't know if I can do this. It's overwhelming. There's so many people that have so many different needs, and you want to help everybody, but you can't. There's limited resources, limited time. Life has a way of getting overwhelming. And Psalm 21 reminds me of who's in charge. Like, Lord, I didn't bring myself here. I can't fix all this. I can't make it work. I don't have enough. But Lord, your word tells me that you're more than enough. Your word tells me that you're going to watch over me. Your word tells me you're going to give me some wisdom. Your word reminds me that you're in charge. I'm not in charge. And I love how it says here that the sun's not gonna bother you by day, and the moon's not gonna bother you by night. I like that night part because my issue may be different than yours, but my issue is I don't get really overwhelmed by what I can see. I get overwhelmed by what I can imagine, by what I don't see. And sometimes it's the what ifs that does a lot more stuff to kind of freak me out than the actual problem. Now there's plenty of actual problems. I'm like, okay, here's the issue. And there's sometimes like, I don't know what the issue is, but this is crazy. And often if I focus on what I can't see and what I can't do anything except for imagine, it just becomes way worse in my mind than what it actually is. And there's a reason why those of you that like suspense movies or thriller movies or horror movies, there's a reason why the greatest directors and the greatest movies will never show you the monster, they never show you the alien, they never show you the killer. Why? Because your mind can do more than CGI or AI could ever do on its best day. The human mind can make things much worse than they actually are. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You can imagine things and make them way worse. Now, I love to hunt. I'm a big hunter, and I enjoy being out there before the sun comes up or way after the sun goes down. That's the best hunting time, except in deer season, unless you got a spotlight. Woo, what? Just kidding. I would never do that. But let me just tell you, when you're in the middle of the woods all by yourself and that sun ain't out, the things that you can imagine are much worse than what's actually out there. So in my mind, you know, it's Bigfoot. In my mind, some 800-pound grizzly bear has come down from Canada and made its way into the piney woods of East Texas. When in reality, it's probably a squirrel, let's just be honest. But my mind will make it much worse than it actually is. And I love that this psalm deals with that. Deals with the issues of me making something much worse than it actually is. You ever been to that place where you're like, okay, I thought this was gonna happen. Turns out I got worried about nothing. Am I the only one that's ever been there? Turns out it worked out really well. Turns out that scripture where it says he works these things for my good, turns out that's a true scripture. But I couldn't see it at the time. At the time, I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess you missed that one. Here I am. No, his word reminds me of this simple fact, and I want to put it on the screen so you can see it. My God shields me from the visible, the invisible, and the imagined. And we need to remember that. It helps us to keep going when you don't think you can. And let me just tell you, I'm not here to be the bearer of bad news. Let me just tell you, life is gonna give you moments where you don't think you're gonna make it. And I want you to be prepared for those moments. It's important for me as a pastor to equip you to do what God's called you to do. And part of what God has called every human being to do is to trust him in the dark. Trust him when you're not sure what's gonna happen. And to remind yourself, he's pretty powerful. He can do things that you can't do. I've never been more reminded of that, more clear on that than when my family and I, we were doing some crusades in Nicaragua, and it was hard. And when I say it was hard, I mean it was hard. I mean, we have crazy heat here. Let's tell you, it ain't nothing like no deep jungle heat. I'm just telling you, it's different. And spending a few weeks down there in the jungle, there are things that are pretty hard to handle. And we saw some things that I'll tell you about at some other times. That just some of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life, and not in a good way. Hardcore things that people have to deal with. I remember as we're just driving into where we're going, and my kids, we were smaller at the time. My daughter looked at me and said, "Dad," and I said, "Yeah." She goes, "We're really rich, aren't we?" I'm like, "Baby, we are really blessed." Because you may not be living high on the hog here in America, but you go down there, and you realize how blessed you really are. Because there are things that they struggle with that are hard to watch. And after spending some time down there, a lot of our team got sick. Some of those guys had to go to the hospital and just dropping like flies, just sick and sick and sick. And all kinds of bugs and all kinds of issues and no power and all. There's just crazy times. My kids were covered in lice. And my wife got covered in lice. And so after about 2 or 3 days of that, like, you're done. Like, you're just like, Lord, I love you. And I know you led me here for a reason, but I need some medicine. Like, this is crazy. And there are some times where people go on mission trips and you're like, you know, they're like, "Oh, it was so hard." Like, really, was it? Suffering for the gospel in Cabo, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's be honest. But this wasn't one of those. And so we had seen thousands of people come to Christ, and it was a profound moment in my life. every night we would do these crusades where thousands of people would crowd into baseball stadiums and soccer stadiums, and I would preach the gospel, and the worship team would go, and you'd be shocked at the things that God did, just the healings and the miracles, and the amount of people getting saved was overwhelming. And was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it. But was it hard? Yes. And so at the end of the last night, it was our biggest crusade, and I was sitting there watching the worship team go, and I was praying like I always do, and like, Lord, just show me what to say. I want to help your people. It's our last night. There's a lot of people here that need to hear your word. And I remember in that moment as I'm praying and watching the worship team and I'm worshiping, like my vision started getting really dark. You know, you ever had that moment where you feel like you're about to pass out? I'm like, oh, I might be too hot. And I'd been sweating all day because it's really humid, very, very hot. And I realized I had stopped sweating and I was getting cold. I'm like, uh-oh, like that's not good. And so I made my way behind the stage and I just kind of leaned up against the concrete back there, and I started just praying like, okay, Lord, I'm not okay. And the next thing I know, like I'm laying down in the grass. Like, oh man, this went bad, from bad to worse. This is bad. And so I started just kind of getting pretty upset at God. I'm like, okay, Lord, how could you bring me this far on the last night with that many people out there? I know that you've given me a word to speak, but I can't even stand up. I can't move. And so I remember in those few moments just kind of getting overwhelmed, like I can't go on. That's too much. And so as I was praying, I'm so grateful. One of our bus drivers who didn't speak any English just happened to see me kind of collapse, and he runs over and picks me up and carries me, and he brings me to the van. And he says, let me turn on the van and get you some air conditioning. I'm like, oh, please. That's the greatest words I ever heard in my life. Air conditioning. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so I sat there, and he found some bottled water for me, and I started drinking the bottled water, and I'm trying to get my vision back. And he said, what do you need? I said, can you get my family? Could you grab my family? And he said, sure. And so he brings my wife and my kids, and we all kind of get in the van. I said, guys, please pray for me. He's like, I'm not good. I'm really sick. And the worship team had just finished their worship set, and the guy was announcing that here I'm about to preach. I'm like, no, I'm not. I got nothing to give you. And so I remember in those moments, my family was praying for me, and I said, Lord, I can't even stand up. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm supposed to speak. And I know you gave me a word to speak, but I'm kind of overwhelmed right now. I'm not okay. And I felt in that moment like the power of God just came in that van. And those of you that have experienced moments like this, you know it. There's no mistaking. Like the whole atmosphere changes. God is here. And in those moments, you're like, uh-oh. Be very careful about what I say. He was here. And I felt the Lord begin to speak to me. And the Lord says, what do you want? Now, I know that sounds like an awesome moment in your life, but I was overwhelmed. Like, what do you say in those moments? When God asks you, what do you want? Do you have a list? You just pull out, okay, this is what I want. Let me just scroll through this on my phone. Okay, first of all, I didn't even know what to ask for. Like, do I ask for a hospital? Do I ask for an ambulance? Do I ask for a doctor that happens to be here that can, do I ask for electrolytes? What do I ask for? As I sit there and process what I'm going to ask for, I realize, you know what? I've got some bottled water. I'm getting some fluids. I've got air conditioning, praise God. And I'm sitting down. Like, honestly, Lord, I just need about 10 minutes. If you could just give me about 10 minutes, then I can go do what you asked me to do. And as soon as I said the words, like, honestly, Lord, I just need about 10 minutes, the power to the entire city shut off. And I looked around, like everything went pitch black. We're in the jungle. The Lord says, you got 10 minutes. I'm like, wow. You ever had God stop time for you? I'm his favorite. He loves me more than he loves you. That literally happened. And I sat there and I'm like, okay. The director comes over. Hey guys, sorry, we've had a power outage. You got about 10 minutes. Is that gonna be okay? Be okay. I think we can hold tight for a few minutes. Cool, cool, cool. Just hang on. You got about 10 minutes. Like, yeah, I knew that already. Let me just remind you, you have a powerful God who can do what you can't do. And you're going to need that when life gets dark, when you get overwhelmed, when it's not peaches and when it's not roses, when the road gets bumpy, when life gets hard. You need to remind yourself, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He can stop time. He can do anything. remind yourself. I want to leave you with this parting thought. Don't ever quit. Lean into your relationship with the Lord. Trust his power and receive the strength to keep fighting. You can do this because he can help. Amen. Can you receive that? I want to finish up right there, and I'm going to give you a chance to maybe respond to what the Lord might be telling you. I'm fairly convinced that if we were to ask you for a show of hands, who would be walking through a difficult season right now in your marriage, in your finances, in your life, man? Most of the hands in this room are going to go up. I asked that question in the first service, and only about four hands didn't go up. So you're not alone. And the enemy will tell you that all the time. You're the only one walking through a tough season. Everybody in this church has got everything going on. They're all doing good. And you're the only one whose life is not really doing very well. No, it's not true. We all got to walk through some stuff. It's hard on everybody. Life's a journey. It's not always the easy road. So as a response to what we've just read, I want to invite you, if you wouldn't mind, to just bow your head and close your eyes. And simply say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Can you do that? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? With heads bowed, how many of us would say by the simple lifting of our hands, I need the Lord to speak to me. I'm walking through a difficult season, Pastor. You're talking to me. You're talking my language. Where are you? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. You can put your hands down. How many of us would say by the lifting of our hands, Pastor, I've just come out of a rough season. We're in a good place now, but I've just come out of one. Let me just see you. Yeah. Yeah. I know that to be true. You either just come out of one or you're in one right now. That's life. Let me just remind you of this simple truth. He's the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valleys. Stick close to God. When we're walking through a valley, we're going to fight disappointment and discouragement. But when you're on a mountain, you're going to fight pride. And both are hard fights. So let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every single person within the sound of my voice. If the journey has been a good one, thank you. If the journey is not so good, thank you. In the highs and the lows, in the mountains and the valleys, you're still God. And you're our helper. You're our protector. You're our shield. You're my strength. You are God, not me. So let me remind myself, Lord, of your immense power. Let me remind you, you can do the things that I cannot do. In my own strength, Lord, I'm nothing and I'm weak and I'm fragile. But Father, your strength is perfect and your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Lord, you're strong. So we rely upon your strength. And Lord, I ask for every single person walking through a difficult season. Lord, I ask for your strength to be theirs right now in Jesus' name. I ask that they would leave this place encouraged and strengthened for the journey ahead. I ask that you would give them wisdom to know what to do and what not to do. I ask that you would show them how to fix their gaze upon you, how to fix their eyes upon your strength and not upon the things that are happening all around us. We turn our eyes and our attention to you, believing that you can help. In Jesus' name. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, man, I'm so far from God right now, I need to come home. My friend, you're in a good place. Good for you. For others, you're listening to me right now and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I've never really had a relationship with Jesus. I need that. You're in the right place too, my friend. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want a relationship with Jesus or if you need to come back to a relationship with him because you've been away, then I want you to pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. I want to invite you to pray with me. You can pray it out loud. You can whisper it. Doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. But the prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died. And I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you did that so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. Please forgive me. Save me. I give my life to you right now. I'm all in. Thank you for loving me. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if that was you and you prayed that prayer with me, would you do me a favor with just us and nobody else looking around? Would you just lift up your hand and say, yeah, that was me. I did that. Good. Good. I see you, young lady. Yes, good for you. Anybody else today? I did. I prayed that prayer. Perhaps you're watching online and you pray one of those prayers as well. Hey, we've got a number that's appearing on your screen. Would you text me? Text the number and text the words, I prayed, to that number. And I'm going to send you the link to some things that will help you. It'll show you what just happened inside of your heart and what to do next. I'm proud of you. Good for you. For everybody else, go ahead and look up at me if you would. Then let's stand to our feet together as we finish. I want to remind you, if you liked what you heard today, please share this message on your social media platform. We think that everybody needs to hear what to do in life's journey. You need a little soundtrack. You need a little road trip music. This is a good thing to remember when life gets a little bumpy. So if you believe that that's true, man, share this and let your world see what you can do when you use the power of your social media to spread the love of Jesus. It's a cool thing. At the end of every service, what we like to do is we like to invite our elders and their wives forward, and these guys are going to be available as our service ends to be available to pray for you about whatever you might need prayer for. We believe that God still hears our prayers. And so if you need a little help, if you need some strength, if you need some prayer, these people are here for you. They're the best we got here. And I believe that God hears their prayers and great things happen when his people pray. Do you believe that? So they'll be right here for everybody else. I want to pray for you and bless you as you go. Father, I pray you bless my friends with an incredible week, following after you all week long. And everybody said together, come on, amen. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week and we will see you next time.